The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A few years ago, Becky and I bought our first new, well, used car as a married couple. We'd been driving our old cars for years, and finally the clutch went out on my little Mazda, and we bought this new, well, used car. And I drove that car for a few months, and you know that feeling of driving a new car. I mean, it's just wonderful. And then one day, I arranged to take a golf lesson across town. Somebody had given me, and so I finally made the appointment, and I went. I loaded off my clubs, and I shot across town, looking for a grocery store on the way so that I could pick up a bite to eat as I made my way over. And on a four-lane stretch of road that had a stoplight at the top of a hill, just as I rose over the hill, I glanced over my shoulder to see that I was missing the grocery store. And as I came up on top of that hill, somebody was making an illegal left turn just on the other side that was blocking up traffic. And the brakes of that new car were not good enough to stop in time. I slammed on the brakes as I came over the hill, and then I slammed into the back of the minivan. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. In fact, the impact was so low that my airbags didn't even go off, right? And neither did the car ahead of mine. But my car was done for. The transmission was hit at such an angle that I hit the minivan. It just did it in completely. And I'd never been in a car accident before. I was pretty shaken up. The two guys in the minivan and I, we pulled off into a parking lot, a donut store parking lot, and we called the police together. We checked in, we waited, we went through an investigation, we made sure we were okay, right? We called our insurance companies. My insurance company sent a tow truck. They drove off, they were fine. And all of a sudden, my day had gone from this leisurely gift of a golf lesson to sitting in a parking lot waiting for a tow truck to come pick up my totaled car. And then until that point that the tow truck driver got there, I was in that like adrenaline space, you know, that hazy, confused, a little numb space, kind of going through the motions. You might call it shock. And the tow truck driver comes, pulls my car onto the flatbed. He motions for me to join him in the cab, and I climb in and I just slink down in the chair, totally, totally aghast at the turn my day had taken for the worst. This is the point of our lectionary year, of our year when the gospel readings do something similar, where they take a turn toward what feels like the worst, right? Into like these apocalyptic readings, the end times. We start hearing words like, "Keep awake, for you never know the hour when the Lord will come." And this little turn toward Advent and Christmas always feels so jarring to me. Like, just when we're getting in our orders for turkeys and readying ourselves for holiday meals, just when it feels like we ought to be waiting for wise men from the East, our scripture on Sunday mornings thrusts us into the end times. It always feels kind of like a car crash to me. We're going to hear it, I'm warning you, we're going to hear it over and over again in the next few weeks. This week we hear it. Next week we'll hear more of it. The week after that. And the prophet Amos this week says, "Alas for you who desire this, this day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone was fleeing from a lion and was met by a bear." In other words, it's not exactly peaceful. But here's the thing about these readings, and I think we ought to keep this in mind as we hear them on our way through Advent and into Christmas. These are not just describing end times or apocalypse, far-off times in the distant future. No, they're describing our times. Now, I don't mean to say that our times today are exceptional, though if you were alive and well this week, staying up late as I was every night watching election results, you might think these are the end times. Who knows? No, but in Scripture, what I'm saying is that whenever we hear this word apocalypse or the day of the Lord or end times, I encourage you to read it as it has been read historically as now, which is to say that every moment of every hour of every day is filled with the coming hour of Jesus, filled with both anticipation and arrival. Poet and pastor Jan Richardson says it this way. I've quoted this poem a few times in Bible studies and elsewhere, but I love the way she characterizes this. She says, "Look, the world is always ending somewhere. Somewhere the sun has come crashing down. Somewhere it has gone completely dark. Somewhere the world has ended with a gun, the knife, the fist. Somewhere the world has ended with a slammed door, the shattered hope. Somewhere it has ended with the utter quiet that follows the news from the phone, the television, the hospital room." This is what I think is going on in our gospel readings over the next couple weeks. Look, the world is always ending somewhere. For me, it seems silly now in retrospect, but for me, that day I got in a car crash, it felt like the world was ending. I mean, I just bought this car. I had sunk money into this thing. And so I climb into the cab of that tow truck and I slump down. And as I am coming out of shock, we're bumping along the highway. And all of a sudden this hits me. And I'm sitting with this driver as we're going to the junkyard. And all of a sudden this anger just pours out of me. I mean, I'd never met this driver before, but I start gushing. I'm anxious and frustrated. I want to defend myself, right? The guy making the illegal turn got away, and here I've just lost my car. And this mixture of anger and emotion and hurt pours out of me onto this complete stranger, this poor man. And I'm sitting there in this tow truck, and it's like a dam broke inside of me. And all of a sudden, the tow truck driver cuts me off a little bit. He's not impatient with me, but he says, "Hey, man, I want you to look at it this way." And I stop my ranting. He says, "You know how many times a day I drive cars to junk lots just like this, totaled cars?" He says, "All the time. It's all I do." But he says, mostly I drive alone, because the driver of the car is in an ambulance somewhere. And he says, "Are you in an ambulance right now?" I said, "No." And then this beloved, delightful man says, "You know what? Who cares who's to blame? This happens all the time. Your insurance company is going to buy you a new car. The important thing is that you're not hurt. That's the important thing. You're safe with me, and we're going to get you all taken care of today. Everything's going to be fine. Here's what I want you to do, he says. You have a wife? Go home and kiss your wife. And that's what I did. I think we have this temptation to believe that if the end times, or that if judgment or apocalypse is somewhere in the distance, somewhere when the world is ending off somewhere else, that we ought to store up things for ourselves in preparation, right? And this little parable of ours today might suggest that if we're not careful readers of it. I don't think it is. But here's the thing. The world is always ending somewhere. Somewhere today, a marriage is ending. Somewhere today, a cancer diagnosis in a hospital means the end of a life. Somewhere today means things are breaking apart in ways they weren't breaking apart yesterday. Somewhere today, somebody's getting a ride in an ambulance. I guarantee it. At all moments, at all times, we are living in a world that is ending and living in a world that is being reborn. I think that's what the parable today is after. There's a number of ways that we can go about our business here in the end times, here in the beginning times. We can shut ourselves up, hoard our possessions, go out and buy a year's worth of toilet paper, or worse. Sometimes we can store up these words, like the words like, I forgive you, or I love you, or it's okay, everything's going to be okay. Sometimes we're tempted to store up these words as if we're going to need them in the end times, while the people who were around today are hurting today, and they don't get to hear them. The time for mercy is now. The time for grace is now. The time for forgiveness is now. Because the world is always ending somewhere. And the voice of the prophet Amos comes to us today. The voice of the prophet cries out, don't hold it back. Don't dam it up. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And I might add to that a lesson I learned from a tow truck driver. When the world is ending, let mercy roll down. Let forgiveness roll down. Let grace roll down like waters. Don't hold it back. We all know that there are many in our country, in our nation today, who are reeling from a week that has been very difficult, and many others who are reeling from years that have been very difficult. And our message today is clear. Let justice, let mercy, let grace, let forgiveness roll. We don't hold it back. Keep awake. Keep our eyes wide open for opportunities to lavish these gifts of God. Mercy, justice, grace, love, kindness, forgiveness. To lavish these on one another, on strangers. To pour out these on one another, not in the far distance, but today. Because when we do that, we find ourselves walking beside God in the work of creation. As the world is reborn another day, as the world finds resurrection another day, that just when the world feels like it's ending, we find ourselves walking beside God, wrapped up in God's mission of resurrection. So maybe in the next few weeks, we just cut away all the confusion about these apocalyptic parables for maybe a more 21st century version. The kingdom of God is like this. Like a tow truck driver who pours out love and mercy and forgiveness on a stranger just at the moment when it feels like their world is ending. For that we say thanks be to God. Amen.